Wonderful, Lois. You can get started now. It's being recorded.
Thank you so much. Good morning to everyone who's in those time zones. Good afternoon to Eastern Standard Time people. And my name is Lois. I am a compulsive eater, and I'm going to be the hostess and moderator for this workshop. And I want to thank all my speakers. We've assembled, and they're from all around right now. This is incredible, so I just want to thank and all the participants and people phoning in. This is a wonderful workshop, and I've done many of these, and they're just outstanding. So will you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity,
the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And the wisdom to know the
difference.
I will not mind
you
done.
Amen.
This is great. So I just want to welcome everyone. I want to thank my speakers ahead of time. I want to thank the Phone Bridge Intergroup for this, giving us this time and space. This is just fantastic. So I'd like to do some CEA HOW readings, just two of them. This is not a meeting, and I'm going to qualify that. This is not a meeting. This is a workshop. And so at the end, we're going to have about a half hour or so of question and answers, and anyone may participate. There's no abstinence requirement like a meeting would have. So would someone please read the HOW concept? Someone have that handy? The HOW concept?
My name is Hilda. I can do that.
Great. Thank you so much.
I hear some background noise.
Thank you. And just to remind everyone, please put your phones on mute. That's star six. Thank you. Okay, please continue with the HOW concept.
Excuse me for interrupting, but it sounds like the chimes are still on. I'm sorry, this is Janann. I just wondered if they could be removed.
Okay, she'll give it a try. Well, can we have the HOW concept, please?
Yes.
Please.
My name is Hilda. I'm a compulsive eater. The HOW concept. The Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW concept has been formed to offer the compulsive eater who accepts the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as a program of recovery. A disciplined approach and structured approach. I'm sorry, I can hardly hear myself.
Excuse me, people, please put it on mute. Hit star six, everyone.
Can the moderator mute out everybody?
Yes.
Can you do that, Lois?
I don't know how to do that.
I'll do that for you. I'll do it for you. Hang on.
Thank you. Thank you. Bear with me.
This is Cheryl, compulsive overeater. I just came on Leader's Code mode.
Okay.
Would you like me to take care of that?
Wonderful. I already just did. Everybody's unmuted except moderators and the recorder.
Okay, fine.
Okay, shall I continue? The CA HOW groups have been formed in the belief that our disease is absolute, and therefore only absolute acceptance of the CA HOW concept will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, the CA HOW plan of eating, steps, traditions, and tools of recovery are not suggested. Rather, we accept them as requirements for our recovery. Meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the CA HOW ideal will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. Each group also understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first three steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by forever aware that God is doing for us that we had never been able to do for ourselves. As each of us open our minds and hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Amen. Thank you for letting me read and be of service.
Hey, Lois, we can't hear you if you're there.
Moderator needs to press star 6.
Okay, let me do that right now.
Hi, would someone please read the 7 tools? Thank you for coaching me, everyone.
Hi, this is Marcia Compulsive Eater. I could do that.
Okay, please. Thank you.
The 7 tools. The primary purpose of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer.
Excuse me, we need the 7 tools. We just had the how.
That's what I am reading.
Oh, I'm sorry. Arthur's different. I am so sorry. Pardon me. Please continue. I love this. Humbly, I ask.
Okay. I'm taking the 7 tools from the Forever Abstinent book. The tools help us to recover on all 3 levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. The following tools are used to enhance our program of recovery through working the 12 steps of CHOW. CHOW Abstinent Food Plan, 3 meals daily, weighed and measured with nothing in between, except sugar-free soda, no-calorie beverages, and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called in, and committed, so we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. It is recommended that you obtain your physician's or healthcare professional's approval before beginning your abstinence using the CHOW Food Plan. Any recommendations your physician or healthcare professional makes will be accepted. Literature and writing. We use Alcoholics Anonymous's The Big Book and 12 Steps and 12 Traditions as tools of examination and release. Our writing assignments for the first 30 days are taken from them. When we substitute the words compulsive eater for alcoholic and food for alcohol, we feel we identify absolutely. We believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we are learning one day at a time to abstain from negative thinking. Anonymity. Who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. When we meet another member in the outside world, we do not mention that they are members of CHOW. Telephone calls. We are required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 to other CHOW members. The phone is like a lifeline. We need the contact. It can be like a mini meeting. Meetings. We must attend 3 meetings a week. Those members who have at least 30 days of continuous CHOW absence may pitch. Those members who have at least 7 days of continuous CHOW abstinence may pitch if their pitching has been discussed with their sponsor. Service. Service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. Service is coming to meetings on time, being a leader or speaker, volunteering to be a service person such as a program chairperson, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative. Service is CHOW. Service is putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after the meeting, being quiet when a member is sharing. Service is one way to get involved in the program. Service is needed at all levels and in every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CHOW continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CHOW, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self. Sponsorship. A sponsor is a compulsive eater who, thank God, has 30 days of back-to-back CHOW abstinence. A sponsor will help you work through the 12 steps. Everyone at CHOW is sponsored according to the same guidelines. Sponsors must have 30 days of abstinence, have completed 30 days of questions, and have taken the first 3 steps. Thank you for letting me read, and thank you all for your service.
Thank you very, very much. Can you hear me? That's one
Yes.
I'm unmuted. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to commence with the speakers. Jackie, are you there? Unmute, sweetheart. Hello, Jackie? Okay, maybe we can start with Totomy. I know you're there. Why don't you just start, and then we'll put in, we'll just keep the order. I'll put in Jackie after Estella, so we can keep rolling along here. Okay, Totomy, on the food plan.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. And hi, my name's Totomy.
Hi, I'm sorry, it will be for 10 minutes-ish, you know, so because we have our little time frame here. So thank you so much, Totomy. I love when you speak.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me, Lois, and thanks for everybody being here. My name's Totomy, and I am a compulsive eater. And so my tool is the food plan, and if you have your Forever Abstinent booklet with you, you might want, I'm going to just kind of go in order because for me, you know, the beauty of having it in black and white is that I can always refer back to it, which I really need to do because I am not, I don't have a photographic memory. So I need to refer back quite often, even though I've got over 3 years of abstinence now, and I sponsor a lot of people. But my rule of thumb is when in doubt, flip it out, which means I actually take out my food plan and look at it if I have it. If you know, the saying in our program is when in doubt, leave it out. So if I don't have it handy, I just don't eat what I'm in doubt about. But if I do have it handy, I flip out my handy-dandy food plan and read through it. So there's an interesting part in the beginning that I don't read through very often. As a matter of fact, I owned this great book for probably over a year before I actually read the front history. And what I found fascinating was how this really truly was born out of AA. When Father Dowling, who was a huge supporter of AA, realized that his doctor was telling him that he really had to give up the things that were causing him illness, physical problems. And he found the solution was to give up his own addictive substances, which are listed as sugar, fat, flour, and salt. And so it kind of goes through a brief history of how our program was born, how the HOW concept came to be in 1979 in Phoenix, Arizona, and how the different programs split and came together over the years, and then how in 1996, we came together as Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW. You know, I had no idea the program was that recent because I came in 1996 for the first time, and I had no idea that this was sort of a fledgling program. The beauty of coming out of something like AA, which they sort of trudged the road before us, figuring out, you know, the steps and traditions, made our program seem tried and true. So the first 30-day plan is listed on page 4, and it clearly lists the sugar rule. And that's something a lot of people, and I've had sponsees concerned about this, and I've had you know, people ask me about how to read labels. There are two different parts of a label. One gives the supplement facts or the breakdown of, you know, how many carbohydrates, how many grams of sugar, how many grams of sodium. Those are not the ingredients. Those give you a percentage of your daily allowance based on a certain calorie diet per day. But if you look under ingredients, that's where you're going to find the sugar and flour. And so our sugar rule is it has to be listed fifth or later on the ingredient list. And another interesting thing that has come up with sponsees in the past is an ingredient is listed, and then in parentheses next to it are the things that make up that ingredient. So we don't count all those things. So if it says soy sauce, and then there's a parenthesis and it says all the things that soy sauce is made out of, soy sauce is still the first ingredient. So if sugar is the next ingredient, that is not an abstinent food to eat because it's got too much sugar in it, and it'll, you know, it'll trigger, for me, my sugar craving. That applies to flour as well. And that's down on the bottom of page 4 and goes on to page 5. Sugar in any of its forms must be listed fifth or lower to qualify for use in our eating plan. Okay, and then another thing that comes up often is the optional items. So the teaspoon of fat and the 3 tablespoons of bran. Again, if you feel like you are including them for something other than nutritional reasons. In other words, if you are looking for a party in your mouth, as one of my sponsees often says, you may want to leave it out. If you're really having digestive problems, then it's advisable, actually, to leave those two optional items into your food plan because they really can help. And it's about, you know, our program is CEA How, H-O-W. It's no coincidence that it's H-O-W. Honesty has to be first. And for me, you know, my disease is a liar and a cheat and wants to manipulate the truth. So I have to really, really meditate and get really honest with myself about my intentions for the foods that I'm choosing, even when they're on the food plan and completely considered, you know, abstinent. Okay, moving on to the decision point. And that's when it talks about choosing to surrender or not. This is not a diet. And it says the decision point for those who really wish to get well and those who wish to get well on their own terms is sort of the crux of the matter here. If you're really down and out, you're going to find, in my experience, I found a willingness, but it took me a long time to get there. There was a long time where I thought, well, I'm different than everybody else in program, you know, I'm more active or I'm whatever, fill in the blank excuse. But the bottom line is this disease is a deadly disease. It will kill us, and it'll be a slow, ugly death. And what I have found in terms of success with my physical recovery and my long-term abstinence is just simply doing it as it's written. I need to stop looking and asking why or looking for the loopholes and just do it. And that is actually verbatim on page 5 and 6. Moving on to the protein category, and a lot of sponsees have asked me about, you know, being confused about the protein. The traditional meats are 4 ounces cooked. So, you know, if you're looking at maybe even a menu, this is why those little teeny scales that you can bring with you. I don't always bring my weighing and measuring things when I eat out. I have, actually, when I've been in slippery places, I will bring tablespoons and cups with me to restaurants. But they even have little teeny digital scales that are no bigger than like a PDA or some of these smartphones. And, you know, on the menu, it'll say it's a 7-ounce piece of beef. Well, that's before it's been cooked. So it's really important to weigh your food on a regular basis. So if you've been eating beef on a regular and consistent time frame, you'll know what 4 ounces of cooked beef looks like. And that's really helpful when you go out to eat. And when in doubt, if you can, bring a little scale with you. Okay, look at your vegetables and choose if you're not making body weight goals, you may be eating too many high sugar vegetables. There are, you know, certain ones that we kind of lean towards because they're denser or have more sugar in them. In my experience, it really helps to get a great variety of vegetables. Also, you know, it does say in the list of vegetables, 1 cup or 8 ounces, but in my experience, I cup my vegetables. 16 ounces of vegetables can be a lot of vegetables. And then, again, it's like I have to sit down and get honest about, am I just looking to have that full feeling? Or what are my intentions, you know, in terms of making that choice?
Give me 1 minute, please.
Okay, thanks. The other thing is the germ substitute, and the fact is no one has failed to lose weight using this plan if they go according to the black and white. So really, really, my best advice, if you will, is to read the whole thing. I have gone through and highlighted this food plan. I take it out often and refer back to it. You know, the second 30-day plan, we end up adding grains if it works for us. There are people in maintenance who never add grains back in because it's too much of a trigger. For them, the extra vegetables work fine, but the grains just trigger them because it raises their blood sugars enough to set up that craving. There's a quote on page 19. It says, "No one has succeeded in staying abstinent long-term without the use and acceptance of the 12 steps of recovery." And I think that, more than anything else, is the key to our success, and not trying to find the loopholes in the food plan or alter it to suit ourselves and just use it as it is written. Because once we finally admit that we're powerless over the food and we turn our lives over to the care of God, following it in black and white just becomes a pleasure rather than a struggle. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Todd. I mean, that was amazing, as usual. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome. Our next speaker, who's going to be speaking on literature and writing, is Estella. Are you there, Estella? Hello, hello? Estella? Estella?
Hi, Lois. This is Jackie. Yes. I just wanted to tell you that Estella and myself and Karen and Nora, we had a different phone number, so they should be joining any minute.
Okay.
We were all waiting on a different line. That's why we weren't there at the beginning, and we're
sorry.
Oh,
okay. Jackie, could you go right now? Why don't you,
yes,
you hit it?
Because right
I know. And Jackie's going
to
speak on telephone, and you can just tell them why you have to go out of order here. So thank you,
well,
sweetie.
I'm speaking on telephone because I'm going to a coral clutching workshop in Indianapolis, and it starts in about an hour. So I'm going to be using the phone all week in Phone Bridge, and I love Phone Bridge, and I want to talk about that. So here we go. First thing I wanted to tell you was you can't recover in isolation. Don't go it alone. You can be a hindrance to your own recovery by not using the telephone. Step out of isolation and use the phone. When I was first starting program and I was really shy about making the outreach call, I just put myself on Phone Bridge. Every time I wouldn't make an outreach call, I'd have to take an hour and go on Phone Bridge. And actually, it really helped me. Another thing I would say is take a service position when you can. It helps to get to know people better and it makes it easier to make outreach calls. You'll start to make friends. There's a danger in that it's socially acceptable to appear self-reliant and not reach out to others in program. However, isolating and not going to Phone Bridge meetings or making outreach calls is a red flag for me that a relapse or a slip is coming. Isolation can make you more susceptible to our disease. And in my own experience, asking for help when I was a child didn't work for me. My parents and my family were hurting sick people who were not able to help me or be there for me. Since asking for help or talking or connecting to others when I was young didn't work for me, on some level I still believe the same thing is true as an adult. I've had to unlearn that belief. I'm learning that I can't allow my aversion to ask for help or to reach out to others to get in the way of my chance at wholeness, the wholeness that our program offers. Fellowship over the telephone can support us emotionally and spiritually. These are moments that serve as a foundation for a meaningful life of feelings, friendship, and hope. And when I do my 10th step, I have a list of questions that I ask myself, and one of the questions I ask is, am I remembering that I can ask for help today and that I can call someone? That's a new behavior for me since I've been in program. And I just want to close with, we know that the action and work that heals us includes the steps, the meetings, the telephone, and the rest of the tools. And even if you're shy about the phone, I encourage you to find ways to use it and make it a safe place for you. And that's all I have for you. Thank you for letting me share.
Jackie, can you all hear
yes.
me? Great.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Estella, are you there? Estella? Estella? Okay. Nora, are you on the line yet?
Oh. Susan is.
Hello? Can you hear me? The moderator?
This is Susan.
Okay. Is Estella there?
She was on the other line with us on the wrong phone number.
Okay.
And
is Nora?
Does she know how to unmute?
Okay, star six. Unmute, Estella. Okay, Nora, are you there? We'll get everybody in. This is just, we're all learning how to just stay easy here. Okay, Susan, would you hit
yes.
meetings for us? Thank you. Thank
you. You got
it. Okay.
Hello.
You're on.
Okay, and you can hear me fine, right?
Yeah.
So I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater, and I've been in CEA HOW now for a year, 10 months, 5 days. And thank you so much, because I would love to share with you how I use the tool of the meetings in my recovery. CEA HOW for me is a program of commitment and to a process of change. And the last thing I wanted to do in this lifetime was to change. I was completely paralyzed with fear about it, and I kept my extra 100 pounds on for over 15 years because of it. I want to quickly share that I did know about CEA HOW for 4.5 years before I joined, and when I finally hit my bottom, I knew that there was no other option for me, because I did try to do it on my own, and it didn't work. And when I learned about the requirements of this program, though, the thought of 3 meetings a week scared me to death. I knew, and this is what I hated the most, it was non-negotiable. Since I had already gone to any length to eat compulsively. So the thought of forced human interaction as punishment for my little food problem just sickened me. And my brain was playing games. It would say, I won't know anybody. Nobody's going to relate to my story. Those people are happy to be there and probably cult-like. They'll judge me. They'll think I'm wasting their time being there. I'll always be an outsider because they're already, a clique, and they're all friends, and they'll be happy I failed, and they'll enjoy and see my pain. And, you see, I hadn't yet learned about how the master's ego functions, so I really was deep in all that. And this all ran through my head, actually, moments before I took a seat at my first hometown meeting. But little did I know that when I sat there at that table, and it was a hot August morning, I'll never forget it, scared to death, that was the place that was finally the answer to all my prayers, even the prayers I thought my higher power wouldn't let me have because I might not deserve it. And I still, it's amazing, who would have ever thought that every single member of CEA HOW holds for me a particular key that helps me continuously unlock all those prisons that I had made for myself while I was in the food. But only if I'm honest, only if I'm open-minded, only if I'm willing to work the program. And so I do remember the first week, there was fear and elation at the same time, listening to all the readings at the beginning of each meeting. And I knew that the program was promising pretty huge results. But since I had no other choice to be in this program, I was pretty cynical about all those extravagant promises. And some of the words everybody used, like disease, food addict, oh, my gosh, that scared me to death. And it seemed harsh because I thought we were just there for a little food thing. Little did I know at that time. And, boy, thank God I got it. I finally got it. And then somebody new came in the room about 2 weeks after me. And when they walked in, it occurred to me that they might have all those feelings of fear like I did on my first day. And it was just such an eye-opener for me that was just how long I could be about any given situation.
Oh, hi,
and so,
hi. I did have the wrong number on there, didn't I? I'm so embarrassed.
Lois, should I continue?
Yes, please. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I didn't know you could hear me. Oh, gosh.
No, that's okay. When we had driven to meetings outside my hometown, I was really happy to see that no matter where I went, we used the same meeting format. They were always being used and read, and for the first time, I literally could rely on consistency. And it was such a relief because I had been after that my whole life. And who knew in a million years that I would find it in our meetings, all based on a big blue book that I thought would never cross my path in this lifetime. I began to understand the gift of being asked to read in a meeting, but I was more amazed that people in program cared about one another's recovery and well-being. And when asked to speak at a meeting for 15 minutes, I thought I would pass out because all those old feelings would rise up again. They'll think my story stinks. I didn't suffer enough. I didn't have it bad enough. I'm not worthy, all that crud. And then, oh, that's my disease. It was all sinking in. And so it's such a blessing to be asked to lead a meeting and get outside myself. I now know it's a gift. And it's within those safe rooms and those anonymous meetings that I uncover my own humanity. And as I see everyone else expressing themselves and watching them uncover and discover their truth of hope and strength, it encourages me. And it also, though, compels me to work my program really diligently for my own personal recovery, which is why I know I'm there. And sharing or leading a meeting makes it possible to break down barriers, in my opinion, and to connect with other members of the fellowship that I hadn't spoken to before, because a phrase or comment that I might say when sharing, thank God, will cause them to reach out to me and then let me know they can relate to my share, which makes me feel accepted and very grateful. And on the other hand, though, if I'm listening to another person share and feel feelings of, like, conflict or judgment rise within me, I see that as a gift from God, and that I feel he's showing me very clearly what I still need to work on within myself. And I really believe that peace and love and serenity were always supposed to come naturally to all of us. And so with the tools of this program and its meetings, I know I can have that. And even though I can choose to do a combination of phone bridge and face-to-face meetings, since I'm famous for isolating, I have to be careful and pay attention that I am going to more of the face-to-face meetings and not slipping back into isolation. I had no idea before I had joined that isolation was a large part of my disease. I'm definitely grateful for the phone bridge meetings, especially when there's no other options for me. And I did my homework, and I know that there's like 42 weekly English-speaking phone bridge meetings, and they have like 11 different formats. And then there's 16 of the Spanish-speaking phone bridge meetings weekly now with 6 different formats, which is just awesome. One of the things that I do love about our meetings is, although it's a hard, hard program, I will admit, and we all sometimes share our tears and really painful thoughts and memories during a meeting, that we actually stop and take time at every single meeting to celebrate somebody's program, birthday, or anniversary. And to watch a group come together and give well wishes to one another and to actually acknowledge and celebrate the achievements, it's like I'm finally learning that love comes in so many forms, and that's definitely one of my favorites in our program. And I also appreciate that no one in the meeting is ruled over anybody else, that nobody in the meeting is governing. And when we vote on all the topics and make decisions, it's by majority rule. I love that we're allowed to move out of ourselves and give service at a meeting. And I found it was and definitely is extremely important for my own abstinence to immediately apply for service positions when they actually become available. As long as I'm not overwhelming with my full-time job, you know, I find a balance there. But it's not only holding me accountable to remain abstinent, but when I give service, it feels like I'm giving myself love, and it gives me purpose. And that's just what it feels like for me, so I appreciate that. And then for me, definitely the most magnificent sight is to watch the amazing growth in the room. To see, because now I've been in, you know, a little over, almost 2 years, to see a newcomer blossom right in front of your eyes and then actually reap all those rewards that the program promises, it's just so amazing. And then you watch them give back in service and you realize that every promise of this program are definitely true. And that's just the hugest miracle for me, and I definitely appreciate and I'm so thankful for that. I love that everybody is given consideration to speak when it's time for the secretary's reports and they ask about announcements inside or outside a program. I love that we're all self-supporting and we'll actually, you know, we'll pitch in extra money or extra gifts for the special events. It's beautiful. And so I had just written a little list. I just want to share a couple things about the gifts that I get from all of you at every single meeting. I get the precious human contact of a prayer circle. I get beautiful, sincere smiles across rooms, the art of appreciation of others, phenomenal positive pitches, and heartfelt, insightful shares. We have a group conscience with love at its core, surrounded by a common spirit of acceptance and compassion. Others' continual inspirational shares, I love those. Ongoing forgiveness within myself, that's like a daily thing, and learning new and creative solutions to life. Learning how to surrender daily. Feeling safe and knowing I am finally safe. Learning all these new behaviors I never knew possible. Dissolving resentment. Taking responsibility for my own life and letting go of all that blame. Beautiful, healthier, life-giving thoughts that you're giving me is connected to emotion or exceptional peace and serenity. Reconnection with my higher power. And always, everybody I know, every time I hear this, it cracks me up. We all have this in common, I think. We all heard that one phrase we were meant to hear at the meeting. There's always that one nugget just for us. And so lastly, I just wanted to say that the meetings are where I go to find others with this common bond. And to have even a phone list when I leave is proof to me, seriously, that all is well. There's love everywhere. There is a solution, that recovering from a food addiction is completely possible. And what I thought to be my greatest humiliation in life actually has turned out to be the greatest gift that my higher power has ever given to me. And thanks to the CEA How program and all its mandatory meetings, 3 a week minimum, I see I am not, nor was I ever really alone, and that there is now light where there once was only darkness, seriously, and I will be forever grateful. And I see all of you as my just glorious, magnificent, extraordinary brothers and sisters, and that are all trudging the road of happy destiny with me. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I hope I see you at a meeting soon.
Thank you. Can you hear me, Susan?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you so much. That was amazing. And I want to apologize. I'm looking at the agenda I sent to my speakers, and it has the wrong phone number. I apologize to all of you. Gosh, oh my, and I'm sorry for interrupting yours in my panic when you started.
Oh, no problem.
But what I have to say,
I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to call the other number and see if Estella or Nora might be there.
Please, please, thank you. And what I want to say is I got so much out of your pitch just now because it told me to forgive myself. And Jackie also said, this is the nature of phone bridge. Mistakes do happen, and be gentle with myself. So thank you all so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And if anyone has a resentment, please don't. Go work it out with your sponsor. This stuff really, really works. Okay, is Estella there yet? Estella, literature and writing. Estella, *6, literature and writing. Okay. Hello? I heard someone start to go in there. Okay. Nora, are you there? Hello? Okay. We're going to move over to service now. Just go down the line. And Mary Beth, would you please speak on service? Mary Beth? Hello?
Okay, I'm here. Sorry.
Good. Great.
Okay, well, I'm Mary Beth, and I am a food addict. And this is a great gift to me to be able to share on service today. Once I started looking for support in the Big Book and in the 12 and 12 and in all of our resources, there's a lot of things about service. So I'm going to weave in a little bit of that here and there. First of all, from our 7 tools, the reading says at the beginning, service is abstinence, the greatest service to ourselves. And then from the big book, page 94, it says, it is important for the newcomer to realize that your attempt to pass this on to them plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, they may be helping you more than you are helping them. And for me, that's a very important piece, that to keep my own abstinence, I have to give service. I have to share with other people. And I can do that from day one by making outreach calls, by giving my name and number at a meeting, by doing a reading at a meeting, by staying after a meeting to talk with someone newer than I am. And it just keeps reminding me that I want to do this. When I share it with other people, then I recommit to it for myself. And I've been abstinent for 18 years, and only by day, doing some kind of service. Then I want to share from the big book, page 15. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge her spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, she could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If she did not work, she would surely drink again. And if she drank, she would surely die. We abandon ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. And, you know, for those of us who are compulsive eaters here at this meeting, it's very, very true that if we don't continue service and we don't continue to reach out to other people, we will not make it through the tough times. So service really helps us to keep going and to stay connected to other people. And one of the things that has given me a lot of joy in doing service is sometimes on special holidays and big food days like Thanksgiving and whatever the big food day is, I have some extra time in my day, or I have in between my celebrations, I have some time. And I would go through my numbers that I have in my phone and just call as many See How people as I could call and just say, you know, I'm just thinking about you and hope your day is going well, and you know, hope you have a good abstinent day. And it did a tremendous amount for me to do that, and to it just made it so much easier at my own gatherings to stay abstinent, because I had this connection to these other people. And I think when I don't have the connection to other people, it is really easy for me to start talking myself into something. You know, oh, well, I can, you know, I probably could just have a little bit more of this and that would be okay. But staying connected to other people really helps me stay connected to myself. And another way that I do service is sometimes, you know, on those big holidays, we have marathon meetings, and being willing to lead a marathon meeting or going to a bunch of different meetings during the day, either by phone bridge or face-to-face, and being willing to share something at the meeting, being willing to do a reading, just being present at those kind of marathon meetings. And another big part for me is sponsorship. That's a really important part of service for me. It helps me more than anything else to be sponsoring someone and to share with them my own experience. And kind of put my money where my mouth is. So if I'm sharing my experience with someone else, then it really is in my face if I am not doing that myself, if I am not weighing my food, if I am not calling people, if I'm not attending meetings, if I'm not doing the writing. it just really forces me to face it, you know, when I'm talking with someone every day. And then even just picking up a newcomer to go to a meeting, it's not real easy for me to get to face-to-face meetings sometimes, and I have to do some planning to really get there. And so sometimes when there's a new person that I have contact with, to be willing to work it out in my schedule to pick them up and go to a meeting, or to drive 2 or 3 hours to connect with other people from the PhoneBridge meetings that I've been in contact with. There, we've had a couple times where I've been able to do that. So those are all ways of staying connected for me. And then, then the next part of service for me is sharing what I have received and where I can. I think that's an important, well, I'll share that anyway. From the Big Book, page 85, it says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And from page 77, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. From page 102, your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. And then from As Bill Sees It, page 304, it talks about service and balance. Our society, therefore, will prudently cleave to its single purpose, the carrying of the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Let us resist the proud assumption that since God has enabled us to do well in one area, we are destined to be a channel of saving grace for everybody. And that really struck me because I can have the tendency of doing service, and then not doing my own program of recovery. And kind of get one of my ongoing weaknesses that I have to keep working with is that I want to be saving grace for everybody. And so I want to be the instrument in the world that more people have been helped than anyone else, you know, because of my service. And so it's sort of, you know, recognizing my own ego in that and being willing to say, okay, I'm not here to serve every single person on this planet, but I am here and I can share with the people who are in my life, the people who I encounter, the newcomer that comes my way. So I do have a gift to share with other people, and I have to be willing to share it where I can. And just to finish up here, I don't want to take up too much more time, but in again, in Bill Sees It, it says on page 254, we are partners in a common effort. The fact that in God's sight all human beings are important, the proof that love freely given brings a full return, the certainty that we are no longer isolated and alone in self-constructed prisons, the surety that we can fit and belong in God's scheme of things. That's really the fruits of service for me. That's how I have experienced it. And then in our tools, at the end of the reading about the tools, it says, service is giving of ourselves to help see how continue to function. Let's all get involved to help see how, because we all know that service is freedom from bondage of self. And that's really the bottom line, you know, that we want to offer recovery. We want wherever there is a desire for recovery from compulsive eating, we want to be there to offer it. And the only way we can keep being there is if we do whatever service we are called to do, whatever service we are invited to do today. I think it's paying attention and listening in our lives how we can do service today and not to avoid it and not to think that it's all up to me either. You know, we're all in this together, and all of the roles, every single small moment of service is as important as any other and necessary for this to continue. So for someone to do a reading at a meeting is just as vital as being on the board of directors for World Service. And I think we have to just keep sharing what we can when we can. So thank you.
Mary Beth?
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's so thank you. And Mary Beth?
Hi, I'm sorry. Can everybody hear me? Can you
yes.
hear me, Lois? Hi, this is Nora. I figured out how to join the call and unmute it.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much. I've been praying like crazy, and God answers prayers. Is Estella
on? I left a message
on?
For us. I don't think so. I just left a message for her on her cell phone how to do it. I'm not
okay.
sure if it's up to us.
Okay. Well, we'll all wing it. So thank you, everyone, for covering and the mess I made. Anyway, but this is, please forgive me. Anyway, Nora, would you please
yes.
do your beautiful pitch and take your time? We're actually running ahead of schedule, so please go for it. So thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate this so much. Thank you. Okay, Nora, you're on. Star 6, can't hear you. Unmute. Nora? Nora? Star 6, unmute. Nora, if you can, are you there? Is anyone there?
This is Karen. I can do sponsorship if you want me to.
Yeah, let's get in there right now. Let's do sponsorship. Okay, and we'll just keep moving on. And Nora, right after Karen, the best we can do here. Thank you. Karen, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. This is Karen. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Karen.
I'm abstinent 4 years, 9 months, 7 days today. Lois, thanks for asking me to talk a little bit about sponsorship today. You know, it's a paradox of this program that in order to keep it, we have to give it away and we have to help others. And that's what sponsorship's all about. And, you know, today I'm willing to do that. And when I first came to CEA Howe, I was so afraid of sponsoring anybody else. The only clarity I had was that I knew nothing about recovery from compulsive eating. That's all I knew. And, you know, and thank God, that was a lot greater clarity than I had before I came into the room. And, but it, you know, the program doesn't tell us that we have to get other people abstinent. We don't. We don't have any kind of power like that. And so our job as sponsors is not, and let me just say, this is my own personal opinion. This is not necessarily the stance of CEA Howe, but this is my own experience, strength, and hope. You know, I cannot get another person abstinent. God knows I can't get myself abstinent, but I can help other people in the program by carrying the message. And what is that message? Well, it's about using the steps, the traditions, the tools, and having a higher power that we're willing to turn our will and our lives over to. And that I do have some experience with, and I can help with that. So, you know, for me, a sponsorship is such a gift. I get to work with people who are really good people that have bad diseases, you know, and that's what I am too. I'm a good person, but I have a bad disease, and it wants me, you know, it basically wants me alone in a room, isolated, fearful, where that can work its stuff on me. And you know, in the big book, it talks about, you know, who are we as sponsors? Well, the first time it talks about that, and it doesn't really say sponsorship in the big book, but it talks about, like, when people are going to share their, you know, when they're going to share their story and they're going to share their inventory. And it says, well, who do you share that with? Well, you share it with, first it says, you know, a member of your religion, if you are so inclined. And a lot of us are not. I certainly was not inclined. I had a religion growing up, but I wanted no part of it. But then it says, you know, if you can't find that person, then, you know, look for a closed-mouthed, understanding friend. And that's who I try to be as a sponsor. I try to be a closed-mouthed, understanding friend. And so what does that mean? Well, number one, it means I listen. It means I pick up the phone and I listen. And I don't try to convince people that they shouldn't have their feelings or that they shouldn't feel that way. I just listen. And I don't try to solve their problem either, because I can't. I don't have that power. Only God has power. And, you know, or whatever they call their higher power. Their higher power has that power to help relieve their suffering. But I don't. All I can do is pick up the phone, listen, be, you know, tell them my own story. So that it's a two-way street, so that it's not like, you know, so we're on the same level playing field. We are just trudging the road together, you know, and so I confide in them, they confide in me, and we both keep our mouths closed and don't share it with other people. We just keep it between ourselves and God. And, you know, and then if I can bring God into the relationship, then we've got a shot. We've got a shot at recovery. And, you know, together. And how do I do that? Okay, well, you know, if you don't want to hear, something you should pray about, you know, I'm probably the wrong sponsor. But, you know, that's the main thing I say. Yeah, that's one I got to pray about. Yeah, that's a good one to pray about. You know, that's, you know, what I do. And then, you know, the other thing that I try and do is to help people sort through what are the things that are getting in their way. What are the character defects that are causing them trouble? Because that is what it's all about. You know, in the big book, you know, it doesn't say food, but food is but a symptom of our deeper problem. And most of our problems are from insecurities. You know, and believe me, I've got them, so I can spot some of them, but I can't spot everything, because I'm not like a therapist, or I'm not trained in that. All I can tell you, if it's a character defect I've come up against, I can tell you what my experience, strength, and hope is on that, and, you know, and how that manifests for me, and how, and the, you know, I can tell you what the disease, the lies that the disease tells me to get me to eat compulsively. That's what I can share. And, you know, then I can just be compassionate and loving and just, you know, go, yeah, this is, you know, this person is struggling just like I am. And the last thing that a sponsee needs from me is to be judged, or to, you know, for me to be intolerant. You know, my sponsee needs my compassion and love, and, you know, and my, just my caring, you know, and if we can do that, it's a beautiful thing. You know, the sponsorship relationship is a beautiful thing. But I also have to watch my own character defects, because if they're coming out in the relationship with a sponsee, then, you know, I have some work to do on my own. You know, we shouldn't become crazier in recovery, you know. We should be recovering. So if, you know, if the relationship with these are causing me difficulty, okay, I've got some work to do on my own character, you know, And, you know, I'm grateful that I get to help people, the people that I get to help in the program. But I know that I'm not the one who's going to help everybody, because I just, you know, there's some people I'm not going to be able to help. Either they won't let me, or, you know, I just don't have the experience that's going to help them. But the wonderful thing is there's somebody in the room that can, you know, and I can do my part. I don't have to do it all. I don't have to save, like somebody said before me, I don't have to save everyone in the room. I just have to suit up, show up, use the tools and work the program so that I can tell my sponsors how that works for me. And, you know, and so, you know, and abstinence is the greatest service, as somebody says. So staying abstinent myself is like one of the most profound things that I do in order to help other people. And, you know, today I'm just really grateful that somebody was willing to sponsor me. And, you know, and I just want to give that back to other people the best of my ability, and to really try to be helpful, you know, just be helpful. That's my prayer today, is that I be helpful, you know. So thank you for letting me share.
Karen, thank you so much. You can hear me, Karen?
Yep,
okay.
I can.
Hi.
This is Cecilia. Are you there?
Nora, are you
there?
Nora,
we're both here then.
Oh,
hi,
good.
This is Estela. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Would you go, Nora, do you mind if Estela goes? She's on a time crunch.
No, I understand. I was just going to suggest that. Okay.
Thank you
okay,
so much.
Okay, thank
guys.
You.
Oh, my God. I've just been praying like crazy.
That's okay. I have spent the last hour on two of my phones, and when it was my turn, I kept saying, can you hear me, can you hear me? But obviously you couldn't. That went on several times. But praise God, now I'm able. Thank you for asking me to share my experiences, strengths, and hope using our literature and writing as tools for my recovery. The tools of the program are really designed to induce surrender to the fullest possible degree, so that defiance and grandiosity, those two qualities of us compulsive eaters, actually cease to function effectively. And when this happens, we open ourselves to learn new healthy ways of living without conflict or fighting, but with acceptance, we become one with our inner source of peace and serenity, and we can grow and build character in genuine ways. The tools help us to reach a healthy balance of physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery that with time will extend to other aspects of our lives if we are willing to take the action. There is always a contingency, the if. When I'm tempted to give up or to giving into my cravings, the voice of my conscience quote something that I have read in the Big Book or the 12 and 12, and really the literature is my navigator. It's like a compass that shows me where to go without getting lost. Every day we write down our three meals, measured meals, and depending upon where we are in our program of recovery, we may be writing the first 30 questions, about the first 30 questions, the inventory, steps 6 to 12, the maintenance questions, the kaleidoscope questions, the 12 traditions questions. Thank God I have already answered them all. I also wrote 6 inventories, and I certainly try to leave my past where it belongs. By dropping off all those rocks that kept me heavy-weighted I lost that excess weight, and my body stopped holding on to those negative emotions. Yes, discovering, uncovering, and getting rid of bad emotions is very slenderizing for me. I also discovered who I was. I built healthy boundaries so I don't compromise my core values. And I learned to accept and love myself so I really can love you and give away what I have received from this program. If there is something that is pressing, I do a daily inventory. I try to stay current and deal with bad stuff right at the moment so negative feelings don't become a resentment and poisoned my recovery. Recently, I dealt with a very painful family conflict. I probably wrote 60 pages about it. Yes, I felt a great deal of pain, but did not overeat. In the past, I would have stuffed those feelings with lots of food, but by using the tools, I was able to feel the feelings without burying them with food, because the program that taught me that overeating would have add extra problems. And I want to be in the solution, not in the problem. Oh, yes, I know. We never get rid of the ego totally. Self-will will resurface again. And one more time, I and we need to surrender our will to God. For me, the connection of heart, pen, and paper, no reasoning or justification, helps me to see what is my part and the problem. The very act of putting those feelings, in words on paper helps dissipate unforgiveness, anger, fear, resentment, self-pity, or any other emotions that I may go through. So now when the urge to overeat comes, before taking the first compulsive bite, I write down what I think the extra food will do for me. What will be the result of the binge? What would I lose? And how would I feel later on? Of course, the answer is horrible. I try to remember that eating for the sensual pleasure of my experience is a trap. Lust and greed for food helps keeps me and us in bondage, because we all know that love, happiness, and success are not to be found in the refrigerator. The urge will go away and we will feel strong because we get the tools of the program, the opportunity to work for us. I know that every time the ego dies, my spirit becomes stronger and free from the bondage of self. For me, writing a plan of contrary action that is suitable for whatever I can foresee as a challenge for that day is a must. Because when the urge to overeat comes, I have a plan. I remove myself from the place of temptation, breathe deeply a few times, ask God for help, and surrender my will by taking time out to write about what really is eating me. Whether we are lonely, tired, or bored, or at a party obsessing about food instead of talking to other people, or we are at home allowing the food commercials on TV to give us the wrong messages, or at work with the boss, or co-workers, or with a spouse, or children, or friends, or others, we must have a plan of contrary action and learn about delay gratification. because bad habits are hard to get rid of. But by riding our feelings until we get to the root of the problem, one finds that the urge to overeat goes away. Also, I must be willing to feel some kind of uncomfort for a while if I want to overcome self-will instead of being defeated by a morsel of food that does not have a brain and yet is a powerful idol that controls me. Our carnality always wants to be indulged. Give me more, more, more. For me, self-examination, and for us also, helps me to learn from my mistakes, but not to dwell on them. Remorse after the fact is not productive. God, as we understand Him, forgive us, so we can forgive ourselves and move on, preferable out of the kitchen. The answers to all our questions are inside of us. God loves us. He gives us the opportunity to restore our health and life through this program by giving us a daily reprieve from compulsive eating contingent to our willingness to do the food work. Today, I choose life, not premature death. For all those struggling, if you are struggling with your abstinence or you are new to this program, write down a clear vision of what you want and take action. Today could be the first day of your rebirth into a new life filled with hope. Discover who you are in your writing. Love and respect your body temple where the Spirit of God dwells. Feed your spirit and soul, and in doing that, you will receive the miracles that C.A. Howe offers. Now I'm going to church. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's very important to me. Mary Beth and or Louis will answer any questions regarding literature and writing. And thank you, and remember, together we can do it, and keep smiling. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you, Estella, so much. Oh, I'm so glad we got a chance to hear you. Nora,
thank you, Lewis.
You are welcome. Thank you. Nora, are you there? Star 6 and unmute. Nora?
Hello?
Hi. Go.
Oh, hi.
Thank
oh,
you.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go for it, sweetie. Take us home. Okay.
Okay. The next tool is anonymity. This tool is expressed in our literature and is quoted in all of our meetings as, who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. When we meet another member in the outside world, we do not mention that they are members of CEA HAL. Anonymity also has a prominent role in our 12 traditions. The 12th tradition says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. If there were any doubts about the importance of anonymity, let's not forget that CEA HAL and all 12-step programs bear the word anonymous in their names. In order to explain both the tradition and the tool of anonymity, which is when we walk into a CEA HAL meeting, we leave what we are at the door and walk in as who we are. We are all equals. How far you've gone with your education, how successful you are in your outside life, or not, or even your particular history with and brand of compulsive overeating, have no bearing on what you can get from or what you can contribute to our program. We are all honors graduates from the University of Hard Knocks, having been bloodied up by our various paths with our compulsive eating disease, sitting shoulder to shoulder with one another. No one person may speak or stand for CEA HAL or any of the 12-step programs. The programs speak for themselves through their principles, and we can have unconditional love for the principles, completely irrespective of how we feel about a particular person or his or her individual opinions. In this way, we can acknowledge that we all suffer from the same thing, a twist of fate, and take the risk through the principles, not through specific individuals, to grow to love each other and ourselves as well. This keeps the focus on giving to others. We put the principles of the program before our own individual and possibly selfish thoughts. And in this way, we carry the message of our program rather than our own individual messages to other compulsive overeaters who still suffer. In order to wrap our heads better around this tool of anonymity, let's look at its several related parts. The first part, which I want to talk about, is the historical importance of anonymity. This principle was crucial in growing AA from its beginnings and is crucial to the continuity of CEA How and all 12-step programs. According to the 12 and 12 book, the origin of this concept was the fear of the early AA members that the outside world would brand them as alcoholics and they would be stigmatized in their jobs and personal lives by the public disgust and contempt that was prevalent in the 1930s. Word of early meetings was spread only by word of mouth to trusted people only, with no use of other means of communication back then, even snail mail. As the word spread, so did fear of public exposure, for the stigma was still very much in existence. As AA grew, it became necessary to set some rules, especially in response to a fear that a newly dry alcoholic would cry their sobriety from the mountaintops and then proceed to relapse and drink again. The early members feared this would cause unwanted negative publicity for the group and would interfere with recovery, encouraging just those personality traits of bragging and seeking out publicity that were crucial to avoid. Eventually, the rules will work out. Any individual within the group could be as self-disclosing or as confidential about his or her story as they desired. But at the level of general public, press, radio, and television, and I think we can safely add openly accessible internet, there must be complete avoidance of publicity and identification of individuals, their complete names and stories. In the view of the AA founder, Bill Wilson, no concept was more important than anonymity. He said, "In my belief, the entire future of our fellowship hangs on this vital principle. If we continue to be filled with the spirit and practice of anonymity, no shoal or reef can wreck us. If we forget this principle, the lid to Pandora's box will be off, and the spirits of money, power, and prestige will be loosed among us. Obsessed by these evil genii, we might well founder and break up." And to continue, the second aspect of the tool of anonymity is its practical value. In Bill W.'s last message, he described it this way: "Anonymity has two attributes essential to our individual and collective survival, the spiritual and the practical. On the spiritual level, anonymity demands the greatest discipline of which we are capable, and on the practical level, anonymity has brought protection for the newcomer, respect and support of the world outside, and security from those of us who would use AA for sick and selfish purposes. It's really important to use anonymity for each of us to be comfortable in CEA How that who we are and anything we share at a meeting or with another member will remain confidential within our program home. No one individual may personify or speak for the group. We are safe here, and our privacy will be respected. About the general public, personal anonymity is absolutely guarded. As the literature states, our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never need to praise ourselves." And then lastly, I want to talk about the aspect of anonymity, which is its spiritual significance. And it's very much closely related to the concept of humility. And Bill W. wrote, "We are sure that humility, expressed by anonymity, is the greatest safeguard that CEA," and I've changed the CEA How from AA and food from alcohol, "can ever have. Anonymity is real humility at work. It is an all-pervading spiritual quality which today keynotes CEA How life and everywhere. Moved by the spirit of anonymity, we try to give up our natural desires for personal distinction as CEA How members, both among fellow compulsive overeaters and before the general public. As we lay aside these dear human aspirations, we believe that each of us takes part in the weaving of a protective mantle which covers our whole society and under which we may grow and work in unity. If we practice and use the tool of anonymity, we practice a real humility." And this concept relates to a state of deference or submission and is the opposite of arrogant, proud, or haughty. In order to practice a genuine humility, we must be grounded in reality so we can realize on a deep level, I'm not better than you and I'm not worse in any way.
I'm not more important or less important. I'm not more valuable or less valuable. The compulsive overeater with 20 years of abstinence or food sobriety is not better or more sober than the compulsive eater with 20 days. Through this, we know not to treat people differently because of our perception of who they are, as that would violate their anonymity, not because we would tell their secrets, but because we would fail to see their equality. And using this tool of anonymity with its first cousin of humility, we know that life is a long lesson in humility. Without the tool of anonymity, we cannot exercise humility in this program. With it, we begin to understand who we are, what we bring, and what we have to give, and we do our part. We are the right size. We're not trying to fit into anyone else's shoes. We're happy with our own feet, not too small because that would cripple us, and not too big because that would trip us. We understand we're part of a bigger picture, a picture we're helping to create, but with the help of the program, remember to do this using the tool of anonymity. And that's the end of my talk.
Nora, thank you. Oh, my God. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Now everybody see why I picked these people. They are absolutely amazing. I wrote so many notes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody for indulging me in real humility is grounded in reality.
Well, thank you all. I'm going to, in the spirit of anonymity, I'm going to mute myself again. Thank you all,
everybody. And life is one long lesson in humility. Oh, God. You know something? Can you give us where you got that quote? That was amazing. And so I would love to see where you did your research on what Bill W. said, so I could read that. That is just absolutely astonishing. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, every single person, and for being patient and tolerant with me. What I would like to do now is I want to open the floor.
Lois?
Yes.
Lois, this is Nora. I'll give you my talk, and you tell me what you want to know, where I found it, and I'll be happy to do so at a meeting, okay?
Oh, okay, and maybe we can post
okay,
it. So people could hear it or see it and look
whatever
up.
Whatever you wish. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so
again.
Much.
Thank you.
Okay. We are now going to now take questions and answers from the workshop at large. And Estella had to step away, as did Jackie, because they are attending other obligations and functions. So Mary Beth and I will field those questions as best we can, or Karen or anybody else, any of the other speakers, Totemy, please join in. So I would like to take some questions and, you know, from the body, the workshop body here. So please pipe in. Anybody? Anybody? Hello? I hear a person, so somebody has a question or comment, compliment. Anyone? Are we unmuted for the whole workshop, so now people can...
Lois?
Yes.
Oh, you because they could *6 to unmute to ask a question if they're there.
Thank you very much. So would you please, everyone, if you will have a question, please *6 and jump right in and ask your question. Anyone?
Oh, hello. This is Debbie A. I'd like to share.
Sure. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks a lot, everyone. I need to hear, you know, the foundation and what our program is about. And that's why I'm on the meeting, and I appreciate it. Because my mind wanders in my program. You know, I have that, I don't know, righteous indignation. I have the stuff that we have. And, you know, so far I'm hanging in there. I've been in recovery and see how for over 5 years. You know, but I'm on this meeting today. I need refresher courses. I need to know how it's supposed to be, because my mind does want to change the rules.
Yeah.
So with that, I just again want to say thank you to everyone who spoke and everyone who's here today listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Would someone else like to pitch, comment, ask a question? The star six, unmute yourself. Well, this is Lois, and even though I'm moderating this, this has been a really good experience for me, getting away from making a mess, a mistake, let's put it that way, making a mistake. And I have 21 years in program, and I can see, you know, you're never too old, and it doesn't make any difference. It's one day at a time. And I can see where I have been lagging on the tools. I've been isolating through not writing and, you know, getting way isolating through overactivity. And with the program, I'm the chairperson for the decorations committee for the convention. And, oh, boy, I've been busy like crazy, and I've run into some resentments. And I should know better, you would think, after 20. It doesn't make any difference. I'm a human being, and, boy, this has been an incredible workshop. I've just been taking notes like crazy, on my knees a lot, too, praying, that I need to really do my writing. And I had the opportunity, or I availed myself the opportunity, to go hear Joe and Charlie speak way back in, oh, about 5-6 years ago in Arkansas, and it was astonishing. And they showed me how to do a real good 10th step, how to do it right and according to the big book, which I never understood. But the first column is a noun. It's the person, place, or thing, an event. And the second column is what happened in 14 words or less. It's the verb is what I call it. So it was my fundraiser I had yesterday for the, and that was the noun, and it's something that happened. Someone made a disparaging remark that I was, anyway, I don't want to go into that. And then the next column is, how did I feel? And I when I was writing that down, I was self-righteous, self-pity, but also I felt heroic. And, all, you know, it was a mixed bag, and I felt good. So it was very confusing. And then the next column is, what did I do, if anything, to set in motion trains of circumstances caused me to get hurt? And I could take a real straight look at that to share with my sponsors. Then the next column is, what character defect is this? And I look to see my character defects, and one of my main one is the neediness for love and attention. So I haven't outgrown that one quite yet. And then I added the gospel by Lois, so take it or leave it, and I write, and I help my sponsees with this, which I need my own advice, ha-ha, is what can I do differently? Well, number one is to write. Pray, write, use the tools, get out of isolation with overactivity, and this is an astonishing program, and ever stay humble. God knows, ever stay humble. I just can't thank everybody enough for this amazing workshop. Thank you, everyone. Okay, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Please, someone else? Just star six and unmute yourself and join right in with a comment.
This is Janann in Oklahoma. I have a question.
Janann, hi. Yes.
Hi, Lois. Thanks for everyone for the workshop. I am trying to learn about anonymity, and I'm a bit confused about it. I don't know exactly. I understand that I should not, or it would not be appropriate for me to share something I heard in a meeting and give a name associated with it. But if I'm talking to someone else in the program outside, can I mention that some a person's name that's in the program and something they told me or something they shared with me, like a recipe? I just don't know how that works, and I'm trying to learn.
Okay. Does anyone want to answer that? Anyone from our panel?
Well, I'm the anonymity person. This is Nora. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Rather than put my own spin on it first, I'd like to think about it for a minute and then see if anybody else first has anything to offer before I jump in.
This is Lois, and you know, anonymity is an interesting concept in our program, and there's, I know we, it's split into a few different categories. You know, we have it at the level of press, radio, films, other public media, communication. We have that kind of stuff, and not to put names under there. However, what I'm just finding in my journey in program is that I can leave names off, but I could glean out the principle that I want to pass on. Like if I heard something, I can paraphrase it, and I don't have to say, well, you know, so-and-so who's at the meeting with the long blonde hair or whatever, you know, oh, and she said, I can just say, I heard something at the meeting, and this is, to me, run it through my own spiritual machinery, and then how it affected me. And that's how I could share for myself. And when I look at in the 12 and 12, you have the traditions and the long form. And it, to me, it's a prayer that when you see the 12th tradition, because it says, you know, we of, we'll say, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, how believe that the principle of anonymity has immense spiritual significance. It's spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, and that we are actually to practice a genuine humility, and to this end, that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall remain, that we shall forever live, excuse me, we shall ever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. So that's, and you know, it only took me like 19, 20 years to finally see that, to glean the principle and share that way. So that's an aspect. Anyway. Nora?
I agree. I think just to be safe, we all glean these wonderful pearls of wisdom that I've heard referred to in this meeting, in meetings, and it's always great when we're talking to other program people to pass on a catchword that maybe was helpful to us, or even, I suppose, even a recipe, and it is certainly safer if you just detach the name and the personal identity of the speaker when you're not in the meeting. Then you're safe,
yeah.
And I would definitely vote that way.
Yeah, and also there's a stumbling block in you know, sometimes we're so on fire with our recovery. I know I wanted to shout it from the mountaintops. Us here in California, especially near Hollywood and Malibu, you know, we have a lot of celebrities that go into rehab, and they're on fire when they get out, and they shout it from the rooftops, and then sure enough, they fall. We hear that at times, and at times I'm sure a lot of these people have recovery too, but it's just being careful and taking care of your own spiritual recovery as well, because we are human, things happen, and gosh almighty, you know, just to take care of yourself, you know, not get out there too soon, and I don't know if I'm explaining this right, but it's just to, you know, take care of yourself, and yeah. Anyway, anyone else, please answer and pipe in. This is a roundtable answer and workshop thing here.
Hi, this is Susan. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I just wanted to say, and this is just in my opinion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the bigger picture, this is a really small world, and it's getting smaller every moment. And the odds are that the woman you want to share that with and use a name and give her a name, an actual name, the odds are that one of her relatives or her at a later date will want to come and find our program because they're suffering. I would hate to think that you would have a reputation in that circle as the person who doesn't keep anonymity.
Mm.
And so if you look at the big, big picture, the reason it's a spiritual program, in my opinion, the basis is all love. So to be the most loving you can, even though it might be hard, because I know my ego is just, whoa, it's nuts though sometimes. But if you could just not say the name, and also because you, Janann, are in the spiritual program, if you're feeling compelled to say the name and tell her, and it's just, you just don't see what could ever be wrong with that, oh, feel free to write about that, because you definitely, as part of our personal growth, because I know that we didn't come here to just stagnate and weigh and measure our food. We want to actually grow in the
mm-hmm.
program, which is why we're going to 3 meetings a week, by the way. I definitely look at that within yourself And but that's a gift from God. You know what I mean? So please don't see this as any kind of punishment or anybody judging you. I'm just saying that's what I would do if, you know, I was in that situation. So thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Anyone else would like to add to this?
Hi, this is Tommy. I'd like to add one thing is that in our meeting formats, it often says we share in a general way. So I think it's possible to get resolution or satisfaction with, you know, talking about something in a general way without giving the specifics. And, you know, sometimes we can leave a person's name out, but we give so many specifics about the circumstances that the person we're talking to obviously knows who it is anyway. You may as well have just said the name. It's sort of like when we're in meetings and the meeting says, you know, we don't share about food, and then a person goes on to describe every, you know, last detail about a specific food item so that everybody already knows what it is. I think it's, again, going to the principles of it, we can share in a general way and find the satisfaction that we're looking for in sharing without compromising anybody else's anonymity. Yep. Thanks for letting me share.
Beautiful. Thank you. Would anyone else like to add to that?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Yeah, just the stuff that has been said has been great, and it is about, you know, principles above personalities. And I just, you know, for me, one of the things I want to make sure I'm not doing is sharing somebody else's story, because that's theirs to share, and I don't get to share somebody else's story. I get to share my story. And so that's when I can tell if I'm crossing the line, you know, between sharing in a general way, because I will often say, oh, I heard a great thing at the meeting, you know, and I got to keep it to that and try to keep the personality out of it. Although I can't say that I always do that perfectly. And I also ask myself, well, what does, you know, how do I want my anonymity to be protected? You know, like, how do I want other people to, you know, to remain, you know, keep my anonymity? So, like, I don't want people talking about what I do for a living, or I do share that with people in program, but I don't, you know, like, that would be to bring other things into the recovery that have no place there. I don't want people talking about my political affiliations or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, what I consider, you know, remaining anonymous. And, you know, and I have had, you know, those touchy situations about anonymity where stuff comes up and it's like, oh gosh, you know, yeah, you know, I need not go here, you know, and that, like, that's something that we deal with on a daily basis, each one of us. And the cool thing is we can talk to our sponsors about it and, you know, and get some clarity. There's also, you know, in the traditions question, there's a lot of questions that we can write on, and then we can, you know, read the literature and see what it has to say. But yeah, it's, for me, anonymity is a really important part of the program, and you know, I want to protect for other people, and I want other people to protect it for me too. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. Any more? Would someone else like to pipe in? Even the audience, or please. Someone, anyone? Janann, did that help you?
Yes, it did. I appreciate all of those shares. So if someone asks you for a phone number of someone else in the program, what do you say to them?
Personally, I don't. I tell them to get a phone list, go to the meeting, you ask them. Or I'll call the person and I'll ask, may I give it to so-and-so, asked you know, for something or whatever, may I? I always ask their permission first. I don't give it out, you know, And they'll say, oh, sure, go right ahead, or, you know, like that. I'm like, okay. Someone did ask me for, like, I don't know what it was, emails or whatever. But I said, well, get a phone list. I think they're on there. If they're, you know, publishing, you know, if they put it on themselves and it's open to be used, you know, as for communication. But, no, I usually don't give it out, and I'll ask the person beforehand. So anything else? Another question, comment? You got this great panel here, so ask your questions. Anything else the panel would like to add? Hello?
I have a question.
Sure.
Thank you. This is Tatiana, recovering anorexic compulsive eater. Thank you, everybody. Yeah. I just have I'd love to hear people's views about anonymity as regards disclosing who your sponsor is. Come across different, it definitely seems to me to be freeing for people to not know who my sponsor is. So if I need to talk about problems I have in that relationship, it saves personality coming into it if people don't know who I'm talking about. That seems to be freedom. But there seem to be other times, and certainly when we step up people, obviously we're disclosing who sponsees are. Mm-hmm. And I would be interested in the pros and cons of this, and if I could learn more of what says about this. Thanks.
Okay. I've been on the, this is Lois, I've been on the board of directors and all that. I don't think we really have like a policy necessarily. It's just like each meeting is autonomous so long as we, you know, meet the requirements, you know, for a meeting, but the way we run things and between you and your sponsor. But I'd like to hear other people speak on this from the panel and even our audience. So please type in.
Hi, this is Debbie A. I'd like to just share something that I've noticed. So generally, we know who's sponsored because maybe they celebrate a special occasion. But what I've noticed is sometimes someone will say, I was talking, you know, they'll be sharing. Having conversation with one of my sponsees and this and that and that and this, and then my mind goes to who I think the sponsee is.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes me to have discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just does. And so that's where I think it'd be a good idea to be a little more sensitive and not casually have those conversations publicly at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
Thank you. You know, I was just thinking, one of the things we learn here in program is boundaries. And I know I'm allowed to speak up if something's disturbing me, and I can ask my sponsor just to make sure, please don't, ... And I know you think that it would be understood, but sometimes I know I have to be firm about my boundary, you know, with the police, of course, not hit someone over the head with it. Like I was instructed one time not to guard my borders with an Uzi, but to, you know, learn how to be polite and just say it, you know, matter-of-factly, I would appreciate this, doesn't go any further, it's between you and I. Even though you think it's understood, sometimes it's not. Anyway, please, and I would like to hear more from the panel.
My name is Hilda. Can I share a little bit on that?
Yeah, please.
I am calling in from the Netherlands.
Ah.
And I have been in various 12-step programs, actually, for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how I look at, you know, the anonymity on the sponsor front, I have been going to AA for a long time as well. And as opposed to food programs, it seems to me in my experience anyways, that within the AA program, there's a lot less, you know, trouble about, you know, knowing each other's sponsors and whatnot. And on my personal experience is I always try to maintain, you know, the anonymity. I will never disclose names or whatever. But I also tend to, in contact with, you know, about sponsors and stuff like that. I don't mind when anybody knows if I sponsor someone, or I don't disclose it, but when they ask me, I'm not going to lie. And there's this other aspect of my illness, actually, you know, because when I get frustrated about someone or something in program, and, you know, the speaker always speaks for himself or herself, and I sort of, what do I mean with that, is I try to let go of, you know, talking about minding, you know, discussing stuff between people. I don't want to get into the middle, and I never react on when people are, you know, consciously or unconsciously disclose names or whatever. And it's just, you know, I would love to refer to Joe and Charlie, listening to those kind of tapes, and take the ease on, you know, I'm just a recovering addict, you know, and for me, it's not about the persons, it's about recovering from my illness. And it might sound a little bit, you know, vague, but for me, it's just that I'm not mentioning any names. And when I do have a slip of the tongue, then I apologize, stuff like that. But I've also learned that it's not really an issue anymore in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I will pass with that.
Very good.
This is Jeanette, yes. And again, thank you for, I hope I'm not dominating too much. But this
nope.
is where it's kind of, thanks. I see that in AA, it seems to be a little more relaxed from what I've seen. And for instance, my name is Janann, and there aren't very many people with my name in the world. Well, my name is in the newspaper as a contact person. My name is in some church newsletters as well. My name is on a brochure. So my anonymity's kind of shot as far as that goes, because how many Janans are there around? Anyway, I don't know, it seems kind of like there's a little bit of fear surrounding our names being out there. But that's where I'm coming from, so I appreciate all your input, and I will pray on it and write on it.
This is Cheryl, compulsive overeater.
Go for it, Cheryl.
I just want to make a comment. I know that many times at the meeting, after the meeting, people stay and we're asked to give our numbers for outreach calls, and that's great. That's really beautiful. And some do, some don't. And then once in a while I hear somebody pipe up, well, can I have Janann's number? I'm sorry, Janann. But can I have so-and-so's number? And they listen and she doesn't answer. She's off the line.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, if she's off the line and didn't give her number, I don't feel it's right for me to give her number. So what I do, exactly like you said, Lois, I ask them to either check the list, or I take that person's number, I call them up, and
mm-hmm.
then call the other person and give the number. But what I do here is that lots of the times, and maybe 90% of the time, the leader, the person that stays for the meeting after the meeting,
mm-hmm.
if she'll hear somebody request a number and that person is not on, she will go ahead and give the number if she has it. And I'm wondering if that's breaking anonymity.
Interesting. And that's a phone bridge conundrum, and something that might want to be brought up in phone bridge to ask about that. Now, I did lead a meeting this past Monday, and I heard that people give their numbers out. And I don't know, if you had given your number out earlier and you had to get off and couldn't stay for the fellowship, would it then be, you know, it's like spoken permission to, at that point, just reiterate the person on their behalf since they had already given it. So that's an interesting question, and it's something for Phone Bridge to discuss, I guess, is their inner, how whenever you have your intergroup meeting and chat about that. So
this is Nora. Could I
yeah.
make a little contribution on this topic? In researching anonymity, going back into the history of Alcoholics Anonymous,
mm-hmm.
it seemed clear that there was an early and a consistent concern that if there's somebody in need of anything, whether it's somebody who's already in the program or a new person,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to find other AA people. So,
right.
But I think that seeing someone else's story, I think giving a number or something like that is part of what is expected. But telling somebody's story or saying something about them or their history or something to somebody else outside the meeting is different. I think mm-hmm. revealing who's your sponsor or who's your sponsee, I would check with my sponsor or my sponsee first to see how they felt about that. They may want that to be a private thing mm-hmm. and then just respect what they say. But I think giving somebody else's number or telling someone they can come to the meeting and check the phone list is definitely part of what's okay. But identifying a person who said something in the meeting with personal details outside of the meeting is not okay in terms of anonymity.
Oh, this is Cheryl. Can I just add a little
opinion.
Something to that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Supposing I was the person that left early and did not leave my number, mm-hmm. but someone else had my number, maybe I didn't leave my number because I didn't want to get outreach calls that day mm-hmm. or the next few days. Mm-hmm. Is it then right for the person who happens to have my number, give it to whoever is asking for it? Because I didn't leave it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really be breaking my anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel that if the person's not there to repeat their number, I will not give that number unless I call that person up and ask them if I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no hard, fast rule on that. You know, like there's no policy or something written in HOW that I know of. And I would personally handle it, you know, the way you do. That would be my personal judgment. I'll go, you know, I don't want to give it out. Let me ask so-and-so if that's okay. And it might be, no, they didn't want to receive calls today, and that was, you know, or no, or whatever. So that's how I handle it. Anyway, anyone else?
Well,
hi, this
I would...
is Carol Lee, compulsive overeater.
Oh, hi. Yes.
Somebody could go before me. I don't know. There was two voices.
We only have, it's like 4 minutes left, so go for it.
Oh, okay. I'm Carol Lee, compulsive overeater.
Hi,
I'd just like to hi. About sponsorship. For me personally, I had a real problem. I've had people ask me, what's your sponsor's name? Well, for me personally, I don't believe there's any need to even tell anyone who our sponsor is. You know, it's private, and I totally have the best sponsor in the world. I trust her 110% with what I tell her. And so I asked her one day, is it okay for me to give out your name? And she said, yes. So I think that, for me, was good because, you know, I think we should be asked first because unless we get on a bridge call and we step someone up or we volunteer to say that we're someone's sponsor, for me personally, I don't think it's a big deal. It's set up that no one gets on an ego trip. So we don't share other people's strength and hope. We all have our individual paths that we walk. And before I got into program, I hate gossip. You know, if this was a big gossip club, I wouldn't want to be part of it. And I heard this before I even got into program, that people that you talk to, if they'll talk about other people to you, they're talking about you. So you can't trust that person. And I heard that even before. And also I heard something that if someone tells you some juicy gossip or whatever out in the world, you say to them, oh, really? Would you like for me to pray with you about that? You know, and that stops them in their tracks because they're wanting to spread it. And also, you know, if we hear gossip, I've been gossiped about before and it's not been the truth. In time it goes down the channels, it just grows into a big monster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just receiving a bad report about mm-hmm. someone until we know that person, you know. So I think anonymity is just the coolest thing ever that this program has. And I don't really think that we have to give out our sponsor's name. For me personally, I don't see where it plays a part in anything. First of all, we start judging and we say, well, your sponsor does this, mine does that, and just gets into a big, big mess. I mean, we can't, you know, we can't have a standard of, quote, the perfect sponsor, you know, and we're all just struggling for the same goal.
Right.
So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I learned after a long time, took me a while, that I could simply say if someone's telling me something that sounds juicy, it's like, I go, if that's gossip, I really don't want to hear it. And I just put the kibosh on it like that, simple. But someone else wanted to pipe in. Sorry, I didn't mean it was disparaging, but someone else had something to share, and then we're going to have to say adieu. So who else? There was another person who wanted to add to that. Hello?
Well, I'm my name is Hilda. I'm a compulsive eater.
Yes.
And I just wanted to close off is that, you know, sometimes when we have assumptions, we don't know the whole truth. And maybe the persons that give out numbers from other people, they know it's okay, you know. We can also try to let go, and maybe things go for a reason the way they go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And don't assume that it's something bad or whatever, because I tend to do that, you know. When I was in my insanity, I was always assuming that things would be, you know, negative instead of the opposite, which is negativity is a large part of our disease. Anyway, I just wanted to add that, and, you know, thank you everybody for being here, because it's been awesome. It was my first workshop on the phone bridge, and I love it.
Thank you, thank you. I hope to see everybody face-to-face at the convention. And you guys, people who do come from Phone Bridge, I hope you do to California in July next month, you get a bandana so everybody knows and you wear it any way you like, or you don't have to wear it at all. So we can get to meet the Phone Bridge people. And I have seen at our conventions people, sponsors and sponsees, meet them each other for the first time face-to-face, and it is one of the most beautiful tearjerk moments I've ever seen. I mean, it's literally from across a crowded room. People can identify each other. It's amazing. And it's a big family reunion. So if you guys can come, please. And the Tools Workshop will be given, I believe, at 3:30 on the Friday for out-of-towners who are coming in early. We're going to be doing it again face-to-face. So please, everybody, and will you please all join me in the Serenity Prayer? We'll pray our way out of here and have a great Sunday. Hello?
This is Mary Beth. Could I just add one more thing here?
Please, go for it.
Just a reminder that this is a Phone Bridge workshop, and so a seventh tradition or contribution is really helpful. So you can even put on your check, you know, this was for the Phone Bridge workshop. Because, you know, if we were going to a face-to-face one, we would contribute something for the day.
Yeah, we just keep a basket out, exactly, if you want to make a contribution, you know, volunteer thing. Thank you so much for reminding me on that, because, like I said, I'm not used to Phone Bridge. Thanks
and
for coming.
You know, I don't know if we need to give out the address for that.
Yes.
I don't have it real handy. I don't know if somebody else has it real handy. Let's see.
Hi, I have it. This is Jane.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
CEA Howe Briggs Meeting, P.O. Box number 29048. M as in Mary, S as in Sam, C as in Carol, 250. Phoenix, Arizona, 85038. And this workshop was awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And I also wanted to thank Lois for coordinating this, because it wouldn't have happened without your coordination and getting people involved in it. So thank you very much for all you did.
And also all the hard work for those speakers finding their way onto the right line. That's really determination in the positive direction. Thank you, everybody. I just can't thank you all enough, and all the participants and the audience and everyone who is out there. Thank you all so much. Let's pray our way out of here with God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can change. Courage to
change the things I can.
And wisdom to know
the difference.
I will not mind be done. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Does anybody have the access
code?
Hi. Does anybody have the access code? I just got on right now.